I've kind of realized, you know how we were talking last week about how it's kind of hard to be a kid now? I was realizing this when I went over to my friend's house yesterday. It really is hard to be a kid now because you can't even play Ding Dong Ditch anymore. Everybody has a Ring
Yeah,
camera.
I guess that's true. Well, unless maybe older people don't. Like the old lady down the block, she might not have a ring.
But he was telling us about how like his son's friends came over and they were all like, "Yeah, we're gonna go out," and he told them not to go ding dong ditching. Well, he got I guess a Facebook notification in his neighborhood's group, and they were like, "Who are these kids playing ding dong ditch and this and that?" And they were had a picture of them on the Ring camera, and I was like, "Man, if we would have had Ring cameras back then, we would have been done."
We would have been really, really bad. Did you ever? So you played Ding Dong Ditch. Did you ever play the other game where, like maybe it was on a dare or something like that? But I hate even saying this on the podcast, but we're already into it. Have you ever? Do you remember it being like, okay, you're gonna walk up to the door, knock on it, moon them, and run away, or something like that? Have you ever done something like that?
No, I've never done that. I've never done the flaming poop game
I didn't
either.
do that one. I didn't do that one. It was always like stupid stuff. It was always like go up to the door, stick your tongue out, make a stupid face and run or something like that. I think the worst was like mooning or yeah, it was just
Let's
dumb.
be honest, did you ever moon one of your neighbors? Did you ever do
Yes, I
that?
did. You want to know which one it was? And this is like this. It was Squirrel Man. That's who it was.
Oh my goodness, that's wild.
Why do you think that dude had such a problem with kids? I don't. We wondered why at the time, but and then yeah, there was another neighbor as well. There was two. I don't know why that was a thing, but yeah, we thought we were funny. But we lived in a cul-de-sac, so everybody knew who we were. So I don't know why we chose our own neighborhood, but maybe that's where we were
It's
dumb.
hard to get away with stuff nowadays, ladies and gentlemen. It's all recorded. Well, I'm Chris,
And I'm Micah.
and this is the Donut Box Podcast. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Donut Box Podcast. We are so glad that you are here. It's September, man. It's cooling off, at least where I live. Is it cooling off down there for you guys?
Yeah, man, it is actually in the low 90s. And I know for everybody else that's in the country, they're like, low 90s? That's cool enough. It's like, yes. Typically, this time of year, we're still in the hundreds. So it's like being in the low 90s, it feels like fall outside.
Praise God. Well, we are here with another episode. We wanted to do another free flow episode. We are so glad that you guys are here. And this is just going to be us asking each other questions. Now, I do have to ask you a follow-up question. This wasn't on my list of questions, but can you please explain to the listeners why you had a neighbor called Squirrel Man? Why did you call him Squirrel Man? You have to explain that.
I have no idea why we called him Squirrel Man. So when I moved to the neighborhood, he was already kind of the, how do I put this? So we lived on a cul-de-sac, and it was, we've talked about this on other episodes. It was the only cul-de-sac that I ever remembered that actually had this big grass like circle in the middle of the cul-de-sac where the road went around. Like it wasn't just a big concrete circle, it was, had like a grass bit to it. And so it was kind of spread out a little bit more, but there was all these townhomes, and he kind of lived four down from us and kind of on this corner. And I remember, I think it was because he was kind of crotchety, right? And it was like him and his daughter that lived there, and like he had a bunch of cats. And the biggest thing that he was known for is if you kicked a ball in his yard or if you got too close to his car, like he was notorious for looking out the window and he would come outside and yell at you. Well, as bored kids, we would try to provoke him a lot. But the reason he was called Squirrel Man, I really don't know. It was just I moved to the neighborhood and Mr. I don't know, Mr. H or Benji, we can call him, I guess. He was telling me about like everybody in the neighborhood. I remember like he pointed like at everybody's house. He's like, "That's so and so's house, that's so and so's house," and he was just like, "That's Squirrel Man's house." He's like, "You don't want to throw the ball at Squirrel Man's house." It's like, "Oh, okay." And that was just the thing. And we just called him Squirrel Man until he moved out. So I don't know.
I remember you telling me about Squirrel Man, and I never saw him, but in my mind, he was always like this short, stocky man, probably middle age. He had a goatee, and he was like balding, but on the back of his head he had one of those ponytails, you know what I
Like a
mean? Like,
rat
so
tail? Like a rat
yeah, like
tail?
a rat, but like no, like a long like ponytail, but the
Oh,
rest of his
yeah.
head was bald. And I don't know why I thought he was an Asian man for some reason, but I never saw him. But that's how I pictured him in my mind.
I tell you exactly who he looked like. Him, Lubbockites will know who I'm talking about. What's his name? Not Ron Roberts. He's the meteorologist, the really tall, lanky one with the like
With the
mustache.
mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, John. I think his name is John Roberts.
John
That's his name.
Roberts, there you go. He looks exactly like that guy. Like he was tall, lanky, with like one of those like salt and pepper mustaches, salt and pepper hair. Like he drove a Lexus. Like he kind of, I wouldn't say he was put together, but every time he left the house, he was kind of dressed well. So I have no clue what he did or anything like that. But yeah, he was, I mean, he did yell at the kids though. I mean, he would yell at you if you even came close to his yard. Like you don't even have to be in his yard and he would yell at you. So I don't know what the deal was with that, but.
That's awesome. Well, I guess that was my follow-up question. Do you have a question you want to ask? Because if not, I have another one.
Yeah, go ahead. We won't count that first one. You just had to ask. You had to clarify to the listeners of who Squirrel Man was.
Yes. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how nerdy would you rate yourself? Because I know both of us, we would probably admit that we are nerds. And again, nerd is kind of a general. Nerds have become more popular or more mainstream. It's not an insult anymore. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself?
I also feel like it's also how do you put this? I also feel like it's how do you define nerd? Because I feel like it's become a lot more of a general term. Like for myself, I would consider myself, of course, a plain nerd, but at the same time, like a football nerd for sure. There are those things. I mean, I what would you consider a nerd? I guess for me, it's anybody that's really intent on something to the point where they almost study it or they do study it. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's my definition of it.
Everyone has those things they're obsessed with, but when I talk about being a nerd, there's different flavors of nerd. So there's like the anime nerds, there's the Marvel nerds, there's the Star Wars nerds, there's a sci-fi nerd. I feel like the rest there's wrestling nerd. Like, I just kind of define to me how you would.
So for me, yeah, that's for me. I think that I mean almost studying the thing, football, aviation, and then if you want to talk about shows and things like that, I mean I do like sci-fis. All the Stargate series I was pretty in on, which is really nerdy stuff. I did watch some Battlestar Galactica because I mean I do kind of look like Dwight Schrute and I figured you know might as well watch some Battlestar Galactica while I'm at it. And I wasn't huge on it. Like there are some, it's all about the storyline, you know what I mean? And there's something about me and Chris will attest to this. I don't know, something about certain shows. If it's made to be outlandish and I know it's going to be outlandish, I can prep for that. But if you're going for realism and you can poke holes through it, I don't really like that, if that makes sense. I like more realism on that. But to answer your question, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 6, 7. Like I'm definitely not, I'm not going to a Comic-Con to see some of these people, or I'm not going to a sports convention to go get somebody's autograph or anything like that. But at the same time, like, yeah. Do I research this stuff online? And yeah, do I keep up with it pretty heavily? Absolutely.
What would
Absolutely.
you say is the nerdiest thing you've either watched or the nerdiest thing you've ever done?
I think I got to go back to Stargate, good old Stargate Universe. It's one of them, they never finished the show, and like I still, so sometimes I do be reading like fan fiction of how they think it would end if they kept going. If like the show kept going. So that's a pretty nerdy thing. I would say that's probably the nerdiest thing. 'Cause I don't know. It's kind of like, and then even I wouldn't necessarily call this nerdy, but like, you know, even like the ending of The Sopranos, like reading online, like, okay, how do you think that would end? That sort of thing. So just kind of like fan fiction stuff sometimes.
Okay, then shifting gears to the aviation thing, and I know you could go on a whole long rant about it, but what is the nerdiest like plane nerd thing that you've done that you would say, oh man, like that guy is a plain nerd?
Definitely one, and you can find these on at the Trash Can Network, and Aviator Society has a few of the videos too. But when I went up to Denver and took the Metro Liner out to McCook, Nebraska, just for some context, McCook, Nebraska is in the middle of nowhere. I think the population was like 10,000 or less. It's in the middle of nowhere, and so you take a plane, and it's the last passenger version of this plane. And I mean, it's loud, it's clunky, everything like that. And so, of course, it's one of those things to where there's only two crew. It's the pilots. That's the only people who are on the plane. And so they help you get on the plane, they help you get off the plane. So naturally, they're going to see you get on the plane and get off the plane. They were very, very confused when they saw me walk off the plane, and then they saw me go into that little terminal building, turn right back around, and walk right back. And they're like, are you coming back? It's like, yep, I'm here just for the plane. And they thought that was very, very odd.
But wasn't that like one of the last voyages they were going to retire that plane and that's why you went?
In a few years, probably, but now they're gonna continue doing it for a while, at least the passenger version of it. There was rumor that they were going to like get rid of the passenger side of it and make it into a cargo route, but that hasn't happened just yet. But it's just one of those things to where it's like it's still an opportunity to do the last one before they retire it. So, but no, they thought that was quite weird. They were like, "Do you do this kind of stuff often?" And I was just like, "If I had more money, yeah. If I had more money to do it, you bet." But I don't. Yeah, I don't have money to be flying all over the place and doing those little hops like that.
As the kids say, I love that for you, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. I genuinely love that you have like that thing. I think everyone should have something that they are obsessed with, or they can just nerd out about. And I love asking people that question, like, what's one thing you can just nerd out about? For me, I would maybe probably rank myself a 7 or an 8. I did go to a Comic Con and I did dress up for the Comic Con, so that is a little bit more nerdy. And of course, I love Lord of the Rings. I just finished season one of Rings of Power, and like I kind of nerded out about that. Like I love when little cameos and things tie together. So, but I. Like for me, I go to more Comic Cons to meet the wrestlers, not necessarily like, oh yeah, so and so from this TV show is there or this and that. But I have played pretty nerdy board games. Like I haven't played Dungeons and Dragons, but it is something that I do want to play at some point. Would you play Dungeons and Dragons? Or are you like, no, that's not my
I'd
thing?
try it. I don't understand. Like, I would have to really, I mean, go by the rule book and stuff like that. 'Cause I think I mean, you have to like set up your kingdom and stuff like that, right? Like, there's different cards for drawing to, man. And if you are Dungeons and Dragons players and I'm screwing this up, like, don't even listen to me right
It's
now.
all imaginative, but like you just say, you have your dungeon master, and he's like, you develop your character, and you say, a wizard, this and that. You guys are on your quest, and you're trying to do this. Roll to see if you success. But you are like making up the game as you go, and you roll to see what the outcome of that decision is. So it's a lot of like imaginative style. So you might like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be willing to try it. I don't know where I got the other idea from, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's different variations. Maybe you're thinking of Magic the Gathering. I don't know.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. All right, you ready for my first question for you?
Yeah, sorry, that was a nerd rabbit hole, and I didn't mean to go down it.
No worries. And we didn't even get on football. I could talk to you about X's and O's about that crap. And that's nerdy as mess too. What is the craziest conspiracy theory that you believe in? So, is there a conspiracy theory out there that, like, some people think outlandish that you're like, you know what? I think that that might be tangible, probable, or, you know, is totally a thing.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about this the last episode, but about like the Bohemian Grove and like the Masons with the construction of like the Declaration of Independence and everything. And so like I firmly believe a lot of like kind of what the na not that there's a map, treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence, but I do believe there's a lot of those societies that do have so much control over the society. I do believe like if you study Bohemian Grove and all that stuff, they like they're the ones that pick quote unquote the president beforehand. And so I really do believe like that's Like, that's a big thing. Obviously, the connections and the similarities between the Lincoln assassination and the JFK assassination, like, if you want to delve into all that, like, a lot of it is there's too many similarities, there's too many, like, coincidences, like, all that stuff. And so, again, I believe a lot of that is, like, just kind of controlled. But maybe that's the cons I don't believe, like, in the jet stream things. You know what that conspiracy theory is?
Go into it. I think I do, but go into it.
Basically, like, when planes are releasing, like, the jet fuel and stuff,
Yeah, are
it's
you talking about the
the jet fuel has,
chemtrails
like,
that are in the sky,
yeah, all that
like
stuff.
it's secretly
Yeah.
releasing mind control serum or something in the air or whatever?
Yes. I don't believe
No,
that.
I think that stuff is totally outlandish. What would you think though about what do you think about like 9/11? I know we're getting into touchy subject, but do you think a lot of that just, I think that's, I guess where I'm going with it is that's where I feel my most conspiracy theories come out of is because there's too much about 9/11 that doesn't add up, at least to me, as far as what happened and whatnot. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories, talking about like accounting and paying for the upcoming war that was going to have, and a lot of things that were happening in the World Trade Center. So if you destroy the World Trade Center, it not only gives you leverage to want to start the war, and then all of a sudden the accounting for it goes away as well. There's all sorts of conspiracies out there, but I don't know. I'm not going to delve too far into the 9/11 conspiracies, but I think that's probably my most outlandish one. I don't know, man. I do think that I guess the other one that you're probably going to be like, this is totally outlandish because I already know how you feel about this. I do believe that there are aliens and aliens are among us. I really think that there are advanced races that have made it out here and are just like, you know what? Earth's pretty nice. We're just going to settle in. But I think it's races, like everybody thinks, oh, it's alien people. Why can't they just be humans from other planets, right? And they come here and, you know, maybe they had, you know, they have more technology. My basis for that is I feel like 40s, 50s, and yes, everybody says it's the outcome of war, the Cold War, all this other stuff, but we had so many advancements in technology. Think about where we were at in the 1800s, mid 1800s, late 1800s. We were in black powder rifles, and we went from that all the way to automatic assault weapons. And you look back even in history before that, before the black powder weapons, I mean, it took a while for it to get there. Everything had to take a while progression. And yeah, it's like, okay, you can perfect these things for over 100 years, but it's like that. And then all of a sudden, aviation, you even take that. The Wright brothers, they were flying, you know, they flew a few feet. Everybody thinks, oh, they flew for this long distance. They flew for like 20 feet. It wasn't even that big of a deal. Like they just lifted up and sat back down. You go from that in 1903 to full-on airliners. 40, 50 years later, jet airliners, 40, 50 years later, that are controlled airspaces, all this other stuff. And then you talk about the internet and all this other stuff that's happened. Like, think about how much of a exponential growth that has to be in order for you to get from those levels of technology to where we were at late 1800s, early 1900s to now. But we've had a ton of aliens or UFO sightings, right? And all this other stuff, and Battle of Los Angeles, if you've ever seen that sort of stuff. But I don't know. That's where my conspiracy stuff goes off is like, I don't know, man. I think that there's potential that that could be a thing.
I think everyone should have some kind of conspiracy, quote unquote, conspiracy theory that they believe in, because that just shows that you're trying to think outside the box and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's always good to question things.
Yes. So for this next question, I kind of need to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole. And then once you answer the question, we can circle back to the rabbit hole, if that makes sense. So Micah and I, in the history of our friendship, we've always had a history of like a rotating third friend, right? Like, we always call them like our third jester. That's what we call them, because pretty much they're our entertainment. I guess that kind of sounds.
Yeah. It sounds bad, but hey, it is what it
So,
is.
and we can go through if you want to go through like the different phases of the third friends we've had. But if we had a celebrity to be that third friend in our group, who would you want it to be that you're like, man, like all three of us could hang out and we could have a good
I
time?
think Marshawn Lynch would be funny as mess to hang out with. I think he would be a good, yeah, bro. He's funny as mess. He just, I don't know. I know Cat Williams would also be fun to hang out with. We've talked about that
Would
before.
you want to hang out with Adam Sandler, or do you think he's a little too weird, or do you think his humor's like a little too weird?
Nah, I'd play ba listen, I would play basketball with Adam Sandler. He's really good. He's got to be on my team though. He'd probably kick my I like Yeah, he's really good at that. I would do Adam Sandler, and then if Kevin James hadn't lost all that weight, maybe him. I know that sounds bad, but like sometimes people, when they are heavier, like they're funnier. I don't know what it is. And with him, and maybe that was his whole shtick. I don't know, but like it was like once he kind of skinnied out, he doesn't seem that funny. He kind of seemed like a jerk, actually.
I know who you would pick though if they were both still alive. One, Frank Barone. You would want Frank Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh yeah.
I would hang out with him, maybe like in small doses, but also Jerry Stiller from King of Queens.
Oh yeah.
He'd be a fun
Bernie
one to
Mac,
hang out
just to
with.
talk about his kids too. Oh Lord, like can I get invited to Bernie's poker game? Like if we like that would be pretty fun. It's like it's funny, a lot of our choices are just like sitcom people. And Adam Sandler. Which store, and this could be department store, this could be whatever, which store is probably your least favorite? Like, listen, if somebody says we're going and shopping here, or we're going to, or we can even open it up to a restaurant, is there one that comes to the top of your head that's like, heck no, we're gonna Jericho march around this thing because it needs to come down? Like.
It's not one that I'm like, oh, like I'll go into Bath and Body Works with my wife,
Ah,
but
yeah.
I'm not
Okay, don't
happy
get me
about, like,
started on
I'm on
Bath
the
& Body
phone the
Works.
whole time. Like I'm on my phone the whole, like she's having a great time. She's like, 'cause she's like, here, smell this. What do you think of this? And I'm like, it smells like the other one. You just get, she's like, no, it's a different scent. I'm like, but doesn't that just smell like the one you already have? She is like, no, this is their fall scent. And I'm like, okay. So she loves that store, and I'll go in there with her, and I don't have a problem going in there with her. I would probably say like Spencer's, like we're gonna Jericho march around Spencer's.
What you like,
Dude,
Spencer's?
like I don't know what it is, but I just get like bad like juju when I
Bad
walk by
juju
it.
from
Like
Spencer's?
it just bothers my spirit for some reason. I don't know why. Like Hot Topic doesn't. Like I could go into Hot Topic, no problem. But
Hot
Spencer's.
Topic's changed a lot, though. Like, I feel like Hot Topic used to be very emo, dark, goth, that sort of thing. And yeah, it's changed a lot.
I'm trying to think of like far as a restaurant. Oh, if I have to go, and my wife loves Panda Express, but if I have to go to Panda Express, I'm not crazy about it. Like they've kind of changed after COVID, I feel like. It's
Yeah, after
not as
COVID.
good. I'm trying to think what other restaurant that I'm like, oh man, like I gotta go here. Like I love Japanese food, like hibachi or whatever, but I'm not crazy about Chinese buffets. Like
So
not
somebody
at
was
all.
like, oh, going to, and I know that the name changed, so I could say this. We're going to Lin's Chinese buffet. It's just like, you're like, oh man, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, not feeling it. Also, I'm glad
How do you
for
feel about like a Golden Corral?
I'm okay with
Or like
Golden
a.
Corral, but I hated Furs. I hated Furs, and I know you like Furs. I hated it. I'm glad it closed down.
Yeah, no, I didn't like Furs. Furs was like one of those, how do I put this, nostalgia spots. Like I always went there after church on Sunday. You know what I mean? And it was just like, okay, Furs. But and that was something else too. I don't know why my high school did this, but my high school, like before football games, they took us to Furs and like had us pig out and wondered why we were sick midway through the game. I really don't know why they did that. Probably because it was cheap.
What about
But
you?
that's
Where
crazy.
somewhere you're like, oh, I hate going to this store, or oh man, we gotta go to this restaurant.
Man, I tell you this much, it's not so much anymore, and I think probably because it's changed, but used to be, I hated going to Dollar Tree, and I don't know why. It was two things. One, like Dollar Tree has a smell to it. Like every Dollar Tree smells the same way. Like, and you could just walk in there and be like, yep, I'm at the Dollar Tree. I can tell you. But two, I think it's because like I had too many crackhead experiences at the Dollar Tree. You know what I mean? And so pretty much
Dollar Tree or Dollar General?
Dollar General, I hadn't had too many problems with.
See, mine's the opposite.
Yours is the opposite, really? Yeah, and you know, maybe it's different places to where it's different, but yeah, at least from the way I've had it, it's just like Dollar Tree. I had like one instance, I had this meth head lady like following me around and like acting like a store employee, and she was just like, "Do you need any help?" I'm just like, "No, I'm okay." And just kind of, I guess, general uncomfortable things happen. Or like, there was one time there was this lady who had a small, what was it? It was like a, I don't remember. It was an obscure pet of some kind. And I was just like, what the heck is that? I'm trying to remember what it was. Something about the size of a, no, it was a ferret. That's what it was. It was a ferret. And she had this thing on a leash, like, but in the, like the shopping buggy. And I was just like, what the heck, bro? Like, I don't know. You just be seeing some, you just see some things at the Dollar Tree. And it's just one of those things. It's like, man, I'm just trying to get my stuff and get out. But it's not as bad as it used to be. The other thing that I used to really, really, really hate was, I used to hate going to Target. I'll admit it. I used to hate going to Target. Especially with my ex-girlfriend back in the day. I don't know, man. It's one thing going to Target on your own. It's another thing going to Target with the ladies, because everything is a stop and everything is worth a look. And to me, not everything is worth a look. To me, everything don't warrant an ooh and an aah. But for some reason, that's how it be. The whole thing through Target, it's like we start at the little bullseye zone. You know, you walk in where it smells like popcorn and a fart, and you stand right there and you go through the little dealie, and it's like, okay, it's a bunch of $2 trinkets that they're
Oh, when
trying
they have
to.
that clearance,
Yeah.
yeah, that clearance section right up at the
Yeah, they
front,
call
or
that
that,
like the
yeah, value
bullseye
section.
zone or whatever. And so you got to go through that. And then, like, the first thing that they do, it's like the ladies' clothes is always on the left. And so then all of a sudden, it's like you got to go through all the freaking clothes. And then you take a right. And then it's like, oh, now it's the guys' clothes. It's like, well, let's look at shirts for you. And I'm just like, man, I'm not looking to do any. We were here for something. I'm looking for little Timmy a Lego set to buy for his birthday so that we can go to this dang party. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to do all this crap. And so I used to not like that, but I think that was more, it wasn't because of Target, it was more because of the time commitment. It's like Target ain't a 2 minute deal. It's not a run in, run out. It's like if you go on a Target, it's gonna be a little bit.
I do go into Target probably once a week only because they have really good like WWE action figures and sometimes that's the only place you can get them. They have like limited exclusive ones that are really good. But yeah, no, I feel you. I understand. Now, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like for you, like you absolutely hate clothes shopping. I don't know what it was, maybe as a kid. Something was crazy about clothes shopping, but I feel for you, like going to shop for clothes, like that's the worst thing I could do is take you to go shop for clothes. Like you would hate that.
Yeah. So let's delve into some trauma, shall we? Right here on the Donut Box Podcast. No, I'm joking. So pretty much where that comes from is so I'm a big guy, and I was a big guy for a while. Not horizontally, vertically. So I've always been very, very freaking tall. And the deal is, there for a little bit. I would probably say from 3rd grade to 6th grade, I mean, I was having growth spurts left and right. Like, I do feel bad for my parents for having to spend that much money during the time, but at the same time, they also gave me a lot of crap for it, of like, you're growing again, oh my gosh, whatever, right? So clothes shopping was always really tough because, one, it's always uncomfortable. And two, like, my parents insisted on like being in the dressing room with me and being like, now try that one on. Now try that one on. And you're like all uncomfortable because you're getting undressed in front of them, right? And then not just that, but like they're like, oh, that looks terrible on you. I'm like, I actually like it. It's like, nope, that's not gonna work. And then it's like this whole fight and it's this whole thing. And so like it was just kind of difficult. And so I think that's the primary reason. It's like, man, I don't typically do clothes shopping, especially like trying on the clothes. I hate that whole process. Like something I still get, like, I don't know why I get like heebie-jeebies just like going back to a thing and like, hey, I want to try these on, and they're like, yeah, take this little number and go to the little thing. I don't know why I hate that whole thing. I'll do it because I've gotten the wrong size way too many times, but like, it doesn't mean that I enjoy the process at all.
Yeah, I totally understand. So there was like a like there's again, not trauma, but like bad memories associated with clothes shopping of feeling bad because your parents are having to spend money again, but then also too like everything you tried on was you're basically being criticized and all that
Well,
stuff.
and I'm
So
leaving a lot out, but pretty much, yeah.
well, you can skip over this question, and this question may tie into the last question. So if you're like, "Hey, I really don't want to delve into that." That is okay. Please tell me. But this question popped up. What is one album or artist that like got you through your childhood, or you're like, man, this is reminiscent of my childhood, and you're like, man, they had a big impact on me.
Had a big impact on, man, Young Jeezy. I hate saying that, but I remember Soul Survivor being one that was like real big. And then like, I don't know, it was always that, how do you put it? Like, I always felt real hard listening to that sort of thing. So it was like, you always felt like whatever you were going through, it's like, well, I'm a G in
It
a
helped boost your confidence. You're like, man, I can go
Yeah,
punch
I'm a
someone in the
G and a
face now.
thug,
No, I'm just kidding.
just like Young Jeezy, even though I knew what none of that meant. In fact, funny side story, I remember going for the summer and visiting my grandparents, and I was listening to music. And back then, you know, this is right when Skull Candy earbuds came out, right? And they were the cheap ones. You remember when they were like the cheapest on the market? They were like pretty good, but they were really cheap.
I think you're going to have to explain to people what skull candy
What
headphones
Skull
are.
Candies were. So before the days of having Bluetooth headphones, when corded earphones, like over the earphones, that was really the only thing that you had an option to have. And so they started coming out with earbuds, the little ones that you put in your ear, but they were corded, right? Like, so it went all the way to your phone and was corded. And there's a brand called Skull Candy. They're still around. But used to be, they had like a little $5, $10 set that you could buy that were actually really good, had good bass to it and all that other stuff, right? But the only problem about Skull Candies was you turn the louder you turned it up, you can definitely hear outside. Like there was no buffer. Everybody else is hearing what you're listening to. Like that's just how it is. And so I remember my grandfather hearing, I was listening to Party Like a Rock Star by Shop Boys. And he was like, do you even know what that means? And I was just like, yeah. And he's like, explain to me how to party like a rock star. And I think I gave him some BS. I was just like, yeah, go drink beer or something. He's just like, yeah, you don't have a clue. I remember he told me, he's like, you don't have a clue what you're listening to. And I thought to my, I was like, yeah, I do. I know exactly what I'm listening. He's like, I had no idea. I did not know. He was very right about that. He was like, yeah, you have no idea what they're talking about. But yeah, a lot of that music, it was just kind of that, I guess the best way I could put it was like a false bravado of like, oh yeah, you a tough guy, and like, I don't know, it kind of helped me through of like, I don't know, because there was a lot of stuff that probably would have made me fold, but it was just like a lot of that sort of thing was just like, well, they're going through a hard time or have gone through a hard time, and they made it through, so it's fine. And who said rap music wasn't good for the kids?
I think for me, and of course, you know, Lecrae has always been like, I don't know what it's been, but like each album, like as I've grown up through the years, like it's just resonated with me with whatever I was going through. So, Lecrae, he doesn't consider himself a Christian artist like now because he's like, I don't want the label of people thinking I'm only gonna just make Christian music. I love just making music. But back then, he was definitely like, hey, like you like rap? You're gonna listen to Lecrae if you love Jesus, right? Like, so it was again, like you said, it was like, hey, like I'm confident, I can live for the Lord, I could be one of those soldiers for the Lord, like you know. And so you're listening to it as a sixth grader, little white kid from Georgia, And a lot of it did sound a lot like what was being played like in the mainstream. I mean, there were different stuff, but I would say that. And then Bone Thugs and Harmony, that music video, I tried. Like, anytime I was going through it, I'd be watching it and I'd be like, yeah. Every time I go through it now, though, I still listen to that
That
song.
got me through a few breakups. That song got me through a few
That song gets me through when I'm
breakups.
having a hard time right now sometimes. I'll be listening to that song and be like, yeah, like he knows. I'm like, yeah, I've never done Dirty 30, but I know what he's talking about.
All I know is I'm like Bone Thugs and I guess it's especially I try you just be feeling that song like it's like you know that all of them done went through it. It's like you feel it. That's great. Oh man. My next question, out of all of the times that we had, out of all of our stories, if somebody asked you what was the craziest thing that we did collectively, what would you tell them?
Pepper spraying each other in the parking lot. I would also probably say swim. This one is kind of underrated one. When we swam across the lake, that one time on our boogie boards, like that was pretty dangerous, and we got really bad sunburn, like really bad. Like we were in the middle of the lake, and boats could have just came and just hit us in the face. Yeah, the pepper spray one, I would say riding the bulls together, that one was pretty like
That
adventurous.
was probably, listen, for me, that was probably the craziest. Like telling people it's like, yeah, we used to rodeo together like that. Like, yeah, that's
X-lax
pretty crazy.
brownies, baking the X-lax brownie, that was pretty like adventurous, I would say, but like that got stopped, so we could have probably faced like some serious re repercussions from that. Things would have went south. I think that's really it. Like that's probably maybe the craziest thing I would say. Would you kind of say the same
I
thing?
definitely think drag racing in parking lot. That was, we did, I mean, I know we did that quite a bit, but I know that was fairly dangerous too. We did some pretty dumb ones. I remember racing that truck, that really bad truck of mine, against, and if Jamie and Renee, if you listening, sorry, against their Solara. I remember old Jay Rizzle. He's like, I bet you this car could beat that truck. And I was just like, I bet it can't. It did because that truck sucked, but I was willing to race it. And I just remember doing that up and down the parking lot. It's like really and truly you could have hit somebody, but follow-up question. So, we talked about a little bit of the rodeo stuff. Did you ever think about maybe pursuing that further? Like, okay, maybe I could do this more or
We kind of talked about that, like, hey, we're going to go out to Tech and we're going to be part of the Texas Tech rodeo team when we had only rode a bull like twice, no, just once in our life. And so I thought about it. I was like, man, like probably junior or senior, I was like, man, like maybe I could go do this for real, and be part of the rodeo team. But I didn't really think too much of it. I was just kind of like, yeah, maybe this will be my way. We also had the idea like we're gonna just go work on a cattle ranch when we move out there without knowing anybody. And I now you kind of really have to know someone to work on a cattle ranch. But yeah, we were just like, yeah, we're gonna go to school and we're gonna be ranchers on the part time and all that stuff. And yeah, that was kind of like a
fantasy
pipe
world there.
dream, because that was also going to be one of my questions was. Was there a goal or a like a dream that we had together that was kind of like unrealistic or we just failed or that was kind of
I
outlandish?
mean, being on the rodeo team, yeah, 'cause thinking about the tech rodeo team folks, I mean, for those of you who don't know about the rodeo realm and, a lot of what that entails, man, a lot of these kids have been doing it since they were little toddlers. They've been practicing, heck, we didn't even do the little sheep thing as kids, where it was like the sheep ride or whatever, mutton busting. It's like we didn't even do that when we were kids, so it's like we were definitely behind the curve. 'Cause I mean, again, these kids, whether I mean, the only thing that I think we could have maybe excelled at if we practiced was like saddle bronc riding, or I think we probably could have done bull riding if we like practiced consistently and did that, but at the same time, with where we were at the time, like there's no way you could have joined a collegiate team. We might have been able to join the South Plains team, but at the same time, I know they were pretty good too. So I think that was pretty dang outlandish to think, like, oh yeah, we'll just go out there and be able to potentially do that. I remember one of the other pipe dreams, and I think this was more my idea at the time, and you'll be like, yeah. Do you remember when we were talking about, it's like, oh yeah, I heard that they pay $12 a pound for, or they pay $12 for, I don't remember what it was. It was like per something for rattlesnake skin. And it's just like, oh, and West Texas is
Oh
full
yeah,
of
that
them.
was your
It's like
idea.
West Texas is full of them, so it's like all we got to do is just glove up. We'll get us a bunch of rattlesnakes and we'll kill them all. We'll skin them and we'll make money. It's like, yeah, right, dude. Because like my thing is, sure, but do you've lived in Lubbock for this whole entire time since we moved there. And I've lived in various parts of Texas. I have not met one like supplier or anything that's like, yeah, I'm looking for rattlesnake skin. I have not met anybody or heard of a demand of that at all, personally. So
No, I haven't
it's
either.
like I definitely think that that was a pipe dream there. But I think the main bit was thinking it was definitely the grass is greener on the other side of like, oh, when we get to Texas, there's just going to be all these money making opportunities, right? There's going to be all these things around that we can just go make
I
money.
mean, there is, but
It's
there or there
different.
was. It was just
It's
a
just
different
different.
kind of
Yeah, it's
money
just
making,
it's it
yeah.
was definitely different. One thing I will say, man, was it was hard to find a job in Georgia. It's like if you come to Texas and can't find a job, that's on you. It's like there's always somebody hiring in Texas, which is great.
I think one of our pipe dreams was when we talked about this on the podcast is thinking that our Uncle Steve write-in candidacy was gonna make
Oh
it,
yeah, I was actually gonna
that
do
was
something.
stupid 12-year-old, 13-year-old us thinking, oh yeah, like it's gonna do something, and we have t-shirts made, but we were, bro, we were ready to spread the word. We were ready to spread the word about Uncle Steve. We did get a pretty good following though on the Facebook
I
page.
think the Facebook page we got like 90 people, 90, 100 people. Yeah, oh yeah, that was a huge deal, and I think the page is still up too. But anyways, we should bring, I don't know if we should do your Uncle Steve as the candidate, but we need to bring another candidate back as a write-in for this year. That's what we need to do. We need to find somebody else. Who's it gonna be? Is there a particular fishing experience that you remember? Like maybe you caught a big fish, or like you were catching lots of fish that you remember, or is there
When I went
anything like that?
deep sea fishing with my dad and my brother and my uncle, like that's probably the one where I just caught the most fish, and that was a fun experience. But also probably when we went to go fishing at Lake Allen Henry, right before COVID.
Oh yeah, off the
Yeah,
rock.
like, and we were
Yeah.
I was catching like a good bit, like the fish were biting that day. But since being in Texas, it's been really hard for like me to catch fish. It's been really hard. I don't remember, did we ever really catch that many fish at the Lock and Dam? I don't remember catching any.
No, we caught one. I remember catching a small striper bass, but like, I mean, it was small to the point where I don't even think it was a pound. So it was like, yeah, it wasn't anything that was good. But I think we were also kind of dumb back then because I remember going, like, don't get me wrong, the Lock and Dam was a very nice place. But I think the reason that nobody else was out there fishing is because they had the locks open, and we thought like, oh, that means fish will be, kind of right there. I don't think they could have stayed as far up as we were trying to fish. You know what I mean? Like that was a strong current. I just remember it would take our lure downstream so fast that we had to reel in pretty quick.
Yeah, that's the only time I really remember catching a good amount of fish, and then I haven't caught one since Thanksgiving. Like I caught that one and that was really it.
So I got follow-up questions here. So something that I've always wanted to do, and this is random, but I've always wanted to go bow fishing in the swamp. Would you want to do
I
that?
would try it. I'm not crazy about the swamp. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not crazy about it, but I would try bow
Yeah,
fishing.
I don't know why. I've just always thought that it'd be pretty cool to go and bow fish. And then something else I've always wanted to try to do is I've wanted to do more saltwater fishing. I do enjoy that. When I went down to Florida last year, did some shoreline fishing, and I mean it was really fun. And so I've never floundered before, like gone around and went for flounder, but I want to do that too. So, but yeah, we can go to the swamp anytime, Chris. I know where there's a big one. And I know where there's plenty of places to go boat fishing down there. So, no, I was just curious. I don't know why that's always been something I've wanted to do is go bow fishing, but it's like, well, maybe we can
There you
do
go.
it.
All right, this next one. Is there a fashion trend that you did that you're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? I hated that. Like, or you're like embarrassed by, or.
So, going back to the Young Jeezy thing, the first one that comes to mind was, I can't use that word on the podcast, where I was trying to be African American when I was not.
I think the term you're trying to use is a wank.
Wangster. There you go. We can
A
use
what
that.
wankster for you that don't know is a white gangster,
Or wannabe gangster.
and
Yeah.
almost if you were like a country boy, like camo wearing, you didn't have that phase. But if you were like grew up in one of those southern states and that wasn't your thing, almost every white boy had a
I
phase like
remember I
that.
had the little silver chain, you know what I mean? And then do you remember the dollar sign chain I had at one point? Which somebody broke. But I just remember it was like jorts are jean shorts, but they were like 3/4 length. Like you remember they're like really long jorts and you had to sag a little bit, which that was like a big deal not to. Like, man, I remember the school. It was like the school, my parents, like everybody was like, don't be doing that. And then I remember the shirts were always like, it was like Looney Tunes characters or like
Cartoon characters.
cartoon characters or something like that. And they were always super long and baggy. It was long and baggy was the style. And so having that and then having some cool kicks and then having which I was never really big into the shoes, believe it or not. Like I kind of surprised because thinking back at that time I was like, I'm surprised I didn't really wasn't really big. I guess probably because my parents were not going to spend that kind of money on shoes. So maybe it's why it was. But and then the 5950 hat. It was like, yep, that completed the look. And I thought I looked so cool. And then the other one that I'm just like, oh my gosh, was the PacSun skateboarder
With
era
the frosted tips, I knew you were going to say
with the
that.
frosted
When that,
tips.
when you
Yeah,
had
I'm
the
so
frosted
embarrassed
tips,
about
I
that
was like,
crap.
oh man, this dude. I said, what?
Well, and it started, if you remember, it started off as like really blonde. Like I like dyed my hair blonde, and this is before like Joe Burrow and all this was popular. The only person who had Cody Rhodes is like the only person who had done this to this point was Eminem. So like everybody, I remember that was most people's reaction. Most of it was negative, but most everybody's reaction was like, "Who are you trying to beat, Eminem?" I'm like, "No." But actually, it was blonder than it was supposed to be, because I remember. So I had never dyed my hair. It was like in the 4th grade, right? Never dyed my hair, and so I remember my mom was helping me, and she was supposed to like keep the timer or whatever, and she like forgot about it. And if you don't know, it was literally bleach blonde your hair, and I remember it got to my scalp, I guess, and my scalp was just on fire. Like I'm talking about, it was just like on fire, and we had to wash it out real quick. But whenever it got done, man, it was so blonde that it was almost white. Like it was like blonde, and it was real crazy. And then as my hair grew out and I kept getting haircuts, then it became blonde
That's
tips.
true. I did have the wankster phase. That was probably more so in like 6th or 7th grade because I was really trying to fit in with that crowd. Because like when I went to my new middle school, like the white people didn't want to hang out with me, and the African American community welcomed me with open arms and like, yeah, you gonna sit with us? We're gonna be your friend. And I was like, man. So I wanted to be like them. And I remember some teachers like after I came out of that phase, they were kind of like, we're really glad that you came out of that phase, and like we know that you wanted to hang around with that crowd and like be in the hip hop crowd, but we're glad that you kind of found your own. And I was just like, okay, thanks. And then I would say probably the one I'm also embarrassed of, and I had these forever, were the sideburns. Oh man, those are like my glory. Like I was like, oh yeah, I got these great sideburns, because that was kind of the trend in Georgia. Like you got to have these nice sideburns at the time, and
Come on, bro. Like, my thing is, I know that might embarrass you now, but the deal was at the time, because even watching back some of our other videos about like the Christmas video and stuff, I was just like, I'm glad we were dumb and naive, because those sideburns would have pulled you some chicks in Georgia, like more than you were getting if we weren't dumb and naive and actually had game to spit. Like, I mean,
I had those
it
things
was.
forever, and then I never shaved them off. I just grew a beard, and so that was the end of that era. Was there ever a fashion trend that I had or I did that you were like, oh man, I'm embarrassed that
I
he's
wouldn't
doing
say
that?
embarrassed, but I was just like, bro, what are you doing? Because, like, you didn't tell me that you were going to do the Marine thing and shave off your hair. And so,
Oh,
like,
I forgot about that.
I just remember you came to church and he just had, like, this buzz cut. And I was like, bro, what happened to you? Because typically he's got kind of, like, I mean, regular hair, but it's kind of a little bit thicker, kind of curly hair. And then you came in, and I mean, it was like a buzz cut. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, like I want to go into Marines and all this other stuff. And I'm like, but why'd you cut your hair off though? Like, I still don't understand that part.
Oh yeah, bro. I buzzed my hair, and I kept it like, and especially during my cop phase too. Like I really had the shaved head for a long time. It was probably from like when I was 16 until after I graduated high school, and then I started growing my hair back again. Oh yeah, you're right on that. That was horrible. That was
But I
cringe.
mean, especially that first buzz that you had, like that one was like bad. But like, I mean, it was to the point where, like sometimes you have buzz, but it's like, okay, the follicles, how do I put this? Like, it's you could still tell the color of the follicles. I mean, it was like so buzzed, it was almost, I mean, it was like almost bald. Like, you knew his hair was gonna grow back, but it was just like, golly, like you cut your hair off, like all of it, you know? It was crazy. But I think that was the only one that I really was like, oh man, whatever. I gotta ask you this. What was your reaction? So I started doing Western wear, and the whole thing that started with that was I remember it was my freshman year, and I went to high school, and when I went to high school, like it was all about the fashion stuff, right? And that was kind of, it's funny, Chris and I have talked about this before, but the fashion trends that you followed was also the group that you were in. And so, like, if you were dressed in a certain type of way, like that was the group that you fell under. And if not, like, don't dress that way. And they would be particular to say things like that. Well, so when I first went into high school, so like my style in middle school is kind of like my style now. It's like shorts, t-shirt, or shorts, and like, you know, a shirt or whatever. Well, this, like, going into high school, I thought, well, like, I'm going into high school, like, I want to step up my game a little bit. And so I remember, like, talking to my folks and was like, can I get, like, some polo short or, like, polo shirts? And, like, I was trying to go real Evans, if y'all folks from Augusta know what I'm talking about. I was trying to go real Evans with it of where I was going to high school. And so, like, I had them buy me not like regular shorts, but preppy shorts, like khaki shorts, you know what I'm talking about, like how the prep style was. Yeah, there you go. The only thing I was missing was like Costa sunglasses, and I would have fit, you know, in with that stereotype. And I remember like just going through school for a little bit and just not fitting in anywhere, because the people, there's a lot of people that didn't like that group of people that were my friends in middle school, but now they don't want nothing to do with you because they're like, oh, you're trying to be a preppy. Well, the preppies didn't like me. So I was like, okay, well, you kind of don't have a group. It's funny, you were talking about the African American community accepting you. They accepted me too. That's where I was sitting at the lunch table the majority of the time and whatnot. But after a while, I remember I went, the PBR, the bull riding folks came to town. And when they came to town, it was like, I mean, what do you do when you go to a rodeo? You get your best Western wear on, you go. And I remember like looking at myself in the mirror, and I was just like, you know what? I look pretty darn good in this stuff. I'm just like, you know, and like I had never felt confident in clothing like that before. And so I was just like, you know what? Like I look pretty darn good like this. You know, and I really liked the lifestyle and everything like that. And of course, at the time, you know, we thought we were going to Texas Tech, going to be ranchers and do all this other stuff, right? And so it's like, okay. Maybe Western wear is it. And it's just funny because thinking about the first styles of Western wear that started off with compared to what it was like, didn't really know what we were doing. Very rudimentary. But like, I just remember telling you, like, yeah, this is how I'm going to dress from here on in. What was your thoughts when that
My
happened?
thoughts were, because again, you know that I love Texas. For some reason, I've always just like, man, I love Texas and thought Texas was cool. And like, I always like secretly wanted to wear the cowboy hats and all that stuff. Like, that's just something I love. And when you did that, I kind of like respected you a lot more because I was like, man, like, and I almost kind of like felt bad for me because I was like, man, I wish I had the courage to do have done that sooner, you know? And I was like, man, like, and it wasn't that. I was like, oh yeah, he's doing it, so I'm gonna do it. I'm like, man, I really like wearing Western wear stuff too. Like, I love the cowboy hats and the boots, and I love Texas, so that's where I'm gonna do it too. And so I didn't ever think like, man, that's weird, or why is he doing that? I was like, you know what? Like, I think I respected you a lot more for
And
it.
what's interesting is your style and my style was totally different. Like my style at the very in that time. So the best way I can describe your style at the time was
Walker, Texas Ranger, because that's what I
Chuck
wanted,
Norris.
man. I wanted to be
Walker's
Walker, Texas
Texas
Ranger.
Ranger.
That's all it was. 90s
It's just like
cowboy.
he had the black. Yeah, there you go. He had the black hat. It was always the black pants with the. Yeah, man, it was crazy. Funny stuff, man. All sorts of eras, right? I mean, you go through all sorts of
Yeah,
kinds
I
of
still
stuff.
wear my boots and I'll still wear my cowboy hat like on a really nice occasion, but it's maybe once or twice a year. Like, it's I would rather I will still wear my cowboy boots like in the fall all the time, but I'll wear a baseball hat and a vest and a nice shirt versus a cowboy hat. I'll wear a cowboy hat
I
sometimes,
mean, every year
but
we go
not
to
all
the
the time.
rodeo, so like I'll wear it then. And then, so my company has, I don't know why, every time they, well, I do know why, every time they entertain somebody from up north or the northeast or whatever, that somewhere that's not Texas, they always want me to. I have this one particular suit and I have, like, dressier cowboy stuff. Like, I've got my dress boots, I've got this suit, and I've got this really nice hat, and they always want me to come out in that. And they always order barbecue and do all this other stuff. They just try to put on a Texas show, I guess, you know? And so it's like sometimes I'll have
They're
to.
trying to Hank Hill you from that
Yeah, they are.
episode with
J.I.
J.I.
J.I. Yeah,
Yep.
exactly. Now, that's exactly what they do. And oh, trust me, I know how to play the part. I sold at Boot Corral before. Don't think I haven't sold in Western wear before. It's just a little different of a venue.
Okay, this is kind of a more lighthearted question. If we were in a buddy cop movie, which one of us do you think would be the good cop and who do you think would be the bad
Oh
cop?
man, I think what's hard is I think that would alternate time by time, because like there are some times where I'm like, okay, listen, I'm on your side on this one, and I want to do that whole thing, and I could see you being like, you're gonna tell me the answer right now. I could totally see that, and then I could also see the reverse. It's like, and listen, and like I could see you in it being right the opposite. So I don't know, man. I think it would alternate. Like, knowing our friendship, it would probably be like we're about to go into it's like, okay, you good cop? I'm back. Okay, good. And we just figure it out right beforehand and just screw with them. I don't know.
That's like the interesting thing about our friendship is like over time it has been that, because there have been times where like I'm ready to like go in guns a blazing and you're like, hey, like cool down, bro, like it's okay. And I'm like, what? Like what? I've seen you pop off like at the mouth, like off the handle before. Why are you not like ready to go in guns a blazing? And it's always a like again, there'll be times where it's like, hey, like we let's cool down a little bit. And then the other times it'll flip. So that's an interesting question. Yeah, I think I would
I
agree.
think it would be funny though. You want to talk about like this is why we could never be in one of those jobs or be cops or anything like together or anything like that, because no doubt in my mind we would get bored and screw with people. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Or maybe that's the teenage mind of myself thinking about it. I don't know if you're in that position and have that much responsibility, who knows? But at the same time, I'm just like, I think I would have a little bit too much fun going into an interrogation room being like, all right, I'm the bad cop this time. All right, perfect. And thought about the anyways. My next question here, is there something that you haven't done just yet that you're like, you know what? 2025 is going to be the year for that. I know there were some things in 2024 you had goals, but have you thought about any goals for 2025 of like, you know what, I haven't done that?
Yes, skydiving is definitely one of those ones that I'm serious about. I think 2024, that was going to be the thing, but then we decided we were going to go on the cruise, and then it was just this again, the beginning of the year. If I knew now what I knew at the beginning of the year, no, if I knew at the beginning of the year what I know now, yep, strike that, reverse it. I think I would have planned the year a whole lot different because this year has just been an unexpected year, to be honest. I think for both of us, of like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, I did not foresee that coming. Like, I didn't know this was going to be a thing. And so I think if I would have known, like, nothing bad or tragic or anything, but I think if I would have known, like, how this year was going to turn out, I would have been like, oh, yeah, like, I definitely would have done skydiving probably this year. And again, I don't regret how this year is turning out by no means. I'm still glad I planned the things and it's turned into a really great year. But I think 2025 is like for sure, like I want to do that. Like for real, skydiving. There is a thing, and again, with like family dynamics, you can't just go out and like spend frivolously, right? But I do hope that one day I do get to sit like in the first row at a WWE show, but that's like $600 a seat. And so that's kind of one that's like, okay, you're gonna have to save up for that. I do want 2025 though, I'm gonna say it right now. For us, and again, we don't know what next year holds, but 2025, I wanna for sure, me, you, and our wives all go on a vacation together. Like that is something I'm like, yeah, 2025, that's the goal, is like for all four of us to go on a vacation together. But other than that, nothing crazy. What about you?
Man, I want to try to take a trip of some sort. I'm not sure what, but same with you. Definitely want to take a trip together, but I want to take a trip with my wife too. I just don't know what or where. I think the biggest thing for me is I don't know. I'm like here, I don't know if it's next year, but I want to go to Europe. I don't know, that's one of my biggest things. It's just like, and even if that's the UK, I'm okay with that, but same time it's just, you know, anywhere, like we'll find somewhere in Europe to go to, I think, and make that happen potentially next year, if not, like I'm trying to get this stuff in before we have kids,
That's
because I
how
know
I
after.
feel. It's like I'm trying to get this done before we, because once you have kids, like your whole priority is changing. You're like, yep, those trips that you wanted to go on, like, gotta be like, even if you have the money to do it, it's like, okay, now we gotta think about the time, like,
Right, and
you know,
it's
so.
like you gotta think about the time, and you know, when are they off from school? Like, could we drop them off with grandma and grandpa? Like, how's that all gonna work out? So it's, yeah, for
Next
sure, for
question.
sure, for sure.
What is a viral meme or a YouTube video that you just like enjoy and you constantly go back to it and watch it, and every time you watch it still makes you laugh?
Man, I've got a few. They're all videos actually, so no memes really, but all videos. One of them we share, and I already know this, it's the I'm not gay no more, I am delivered video.
Yep.
I'll be
Yep.
watching that one, and that's one that like I revisit every now and then. It's weird. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna watch that video today. There's another one out there, and I really don't know why, but it's called Techno Viking. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's from the early 2000s. It was a one of the very early viral videos, and there's nothing much to it, but I don't know why. It's because there's so much stuff happening in the scene. But it's pretty much all these people, like, you know, they're having a street party essentially, and pretty much it doesn't look like anything's happening. Then one guy kind of runs into this gal, like kind of stumbles into her, and then this big like Viking looking fella grabs him, like points to like to the truck or whatever that's forward, and sits down, and he became a meme for a while, because it would say like Techno Viking wants you to whatever, and it's like, but it would be like him pointing. But that whole entire video, like he pointed, told that guy to sit down, and then like the truck or whatever that's playing the music starts going forward. And then this rando, like if you're watching the video, you're like, where the heck did this guy come from? This random guy walks up to the Viking fella and just like hands him a bottle of water upside down. The guy drink like the Viking guy drinks the water, hands it back to him, and just starts like dancing like crazy. I don't know. It's like I don't know why I like that video, but it's just like so much happened in such a little amount of time. You're like, what the heck? And you're like still, no matter how many times I watch that video, I'm still trying to piece together like where did that water bottle guy come from? And I guess he knew the Viking fella because like he just like handed him a water, didn't pay for it or anything, and just like handed the water back to him. So I guess he knew him. And then like I don't know. There's like I don't know if you have any of those videos where you just like watch it sometimes and you're just like I'm kind of I want to know the context and I don't know the context, but it's just kind of odd, I guess. I don't know how to
Not
put
sure.
that.
For me, it's the I'm not gay no more, I am delivered. That one makes me laugh. There are certain like vines that I go back to that make me laugh. The King Curtis one from Wife Swap, that's like that's a pretty legendary one for me. I don't know. I don't think there's really any other ones that I'm
Can
like,
we get
oh
King
yeah.
Curtis on the podcast, like adult King Curtis on the podcast?
I don't know how he is. Maybe he's like mellowed out. I don't know. Maybe we can. King Curtis, if you're listening, we want you on the podcast.
Yeah, come on the podcast. Tell us if you still want chicken nuggets. If you still like your chicken nuggets. And if they're still and if bacon's still been good to you all these years. But yeah, my next question, and this one's kind of random. Like all of them have been, but would you rather hike Mount Everest? So, like, with a team of people, you're not by yourself. Of course, you got your Sherpas and all this other stuff. Like, full danger, could die, all this other stuff. Or would you navigate across the Atlantic Ocean, in a boat? Like, you have to navigate the boat across the
I
Atlantic.
think I would probably pick navigating the Atlantic, because again, Mount Everest, like there's a pretty good chance that you're gonna die. Like most people don't make it climbing up there, and to me, like I'm okay if I don't climb Mount Everest. Like I'm not okay, but if I'm in a boat and I have like supplies and stuff, like that would be cool. Like of course, if my wife and you guys came, like that'd be cool to just navigate. But other than that, yeah, no, Mount Everest is not like I don't care about it.
Or you're not quite a mountain climber kind of per like what about people go and climb like Mount Rainier and in Washington things like that. I know you like hiking. Would you ever want to climb a mountain? Say it's not as dangerous as like Everest or but still a sizable mountain, right? Like
Yeah, I would try it for sure. I think that would be an adventure to try for
yeah,
sure.
absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because it's like I've always had a weird thing of like climbing Mount Everest, but at the same time, I don't want to do the risk. And of course, there's only like a 3 week window to where you can actually climb it, where the weather's actually permissible and it's still kind of not. So yeah, I don't know if I would do that. But see, the Atlantic makes me wonder or worry because I mean, man, storms in the ocean can be pretty gnarly too. So.
I got two more questions. Last two for me. This one is, again, a more fun question. If me and you were to host a game show, what game show would we host, do you think?
I don't know why my mind
Or would you
immediately
want
said
to host?
Family Feud. I don't know why. I don't know why Family Feud would be good.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, Family Feud.
I don't know. Could I replace Pat Sajak now that he's Wheel of Fortune? I was like, you know what's funny about Pat Sajak, man? If you actually watch him back and like listen to him, he's kind of a
Yeah,
jerk.
Wheel of
Like he kind
Fortune,
of
you
low
could.
key talks crap about people, like to their face.
He does. He's a jerk and he's a pervert. I'm telling you, I've been saying that for years. He's a pervert.
Yeah, it's just like man, because you'd be watching it. And, yeah, he'd just be ripping some people. It's and so I could definitely do that job. One other one that I don't I could do it, but it's not like my top choice would be Price is Right. I could probably do Price is Right
Yeah, I could
as
probably
well.
do prices right. I'm not crazy about that one either, though.
The only thing that I would not like as a host is Price is Right. I mean, pretty much any game show, you always have to be really high energy and things. But Price is Right, I feel like it's even more. And not just that, but you call people down, they screaming, And then it's like, okay, whoever wins the deal to come on stage, now they're running up there screaming and hugging you, and they're screaming in your ear, and now you're having to talk in front of America still while she's like screaming in your ear. It's like, yeah, I don't know if I would enjoy that too much. Like, I think that would get pretty old after a
I
while.
think me and you could do a great job of hosting like Mari, even though that's not a game show,
Oh,
or hosting like one of
yeah.
those divorce court shows, bro. Like we could be the two judges up there. Like I would be serious and I would be roasting the people that are like, "Come on now, like you stepping out, like come on now, and you ain't seeing that." I would
Oh
roast
yeah, me
people.
too. I can see it be stuff like that. And then I think we should, we have a few game show ideas of our own that maybe Trash Can will put out one of these days. Secret being one of them. All right. All right. Here's my next question. So we wanted to go to Tech, right? Was there really any other colleges that you were like, yeah, I know that ended up doing like South Plains for a little bit. I know back in Augusta there was possibility, but was there really any other schools that were out there for
I
you?
told you this, I think it was last one or maybe the time before, but Texas State was a serious option for me, and Sam Houston State was a
Yeah, you
big
did tell
was
me that.
also a
Yeah, you did
serious
tell me that.
option for me just because I wanted to go into criminal justice and in Texas, and that was like a serious one for me. I looked into A&M, I looked into University of Texas, I looked into a couple others, but those were just kind of meh. And so just a little backstory. The girl I was dating at the time, again, you're a senior, so this was my first real girlfriend. And I thought, like, yeah, we're going to be in love. And so she was a year younger than me. So she was going to be a senior while I was going to go to college. And again, I thought we were going to be together forever, right? So during that time, I was like, you know, if I move to Texas, maybe I need to stay in Georgia. And I remember, like, I started settling, like, kept going down the list and was like, okay, well maybe I go to, you know, University of Georgia. That's not so bad. Or maybe I go to Georgia Southern. Like that's only a couple hours away. That's not so bad. And then I was like, well, maybe I go to Georgia State in Atlanta. Like that's not so bad either. But then I was like, well, maybe I should just stay in the same town and I'll just live with my parents. And I remember having a conversation with my dad about being like, hey dad, like maybe I should just stay and go to Augusta State, the community college. And I remember my dad supporting me and just asking me why. And I gave him some reason that wasn't my girlfriend. But I was just like, okay, like, you know, that's okay. And he said, okay, like, you know, I'll support you if you want to go to Augusta State. And I remember getting into Augusta State, but then I remember that girlfriend breaking up with me. And that's when like that really put me in drive and I was like, you know what? Like I'm gonna go move to Texas. I'm gonna do what I said I was gonna do. Like I'm gonna go to Texas Tech and I'm gonna live a good life and I'm gonna find me a nice Texas girl and I'm gonna show her. And so I got accepted into Tech and I almost missed the deadline, but praise God I made it.
Yeah, heck yeah. Well, since we talked about that a little bit last week, so I'm gonna do a bonus question. This has nothing to do with anything. Would you rather take $1 million right now or $25,000 a month for the rest of your life?
Obviously, $25,000 a month for the rest of my life.
I think there's merit to both. Like to me, I don't know. It'd be hard for me not to take the million now because, in my mind, and maybe I'm too optimistic, but I'm like, I feel like I could take that money and multiply it. I mean, you can take the 25 and multiply it too, but I'm like, a million, it would take how many months, with 25,000 to get to that million? It's like, or I can get that million now and double it, triple it, and have all of that. So I don't know, man. There's some merit to me. I'd be a serious thing that I'd be having to think about real
I
hard.
don't trust myself to not spend the $1 million, so I know it would be better for me to have that in $25,000 increments, and that's definitely something I could like look forward to, right? I'd be like, oh, like I'm gonna get another 25,000. How am I gonna use this 25,000 this month? Am I gonna save it? Am I gonna invest it? So for me, that would maybe be a little bit more beneficial. But if you're like, hey, I'd take the million, like you know yourself better. So different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if I'm just hopelessly optimistic. It's like take the money, I'll multiply it, and then all of a sudden you spend it all. I don't know. It could be that
Cool
too.
deal. And this is my last question. And we've kind of talked about this off the podcast, but for our podcast listeners, how do you see our friendship, or what would you like our friendship to be like when we're 80 years old?
The first thing that came to my mind is talking mess about people. I mean, kind of already do, but what I'm saying is, like, older people, what's great is you can say more things and get away with it. And so, like, I'm good with being, like, two old guys that, like, we're fun to be around, but we'll also roast you too. And then, it's just like, but I know you get this sometimes, but something that's going to be interesting about us is I get told all the time, it's like, man, you're only 29 years old and you've lived already a crazy life with all sorts of stuff that's happened. And, you know, which is very true. And it's just like, by the time we get to be 80, the both of us are going to have some pretty crazy outlandish stuff and some twists and turns. And so whether it be other people, whether it be our family, like kids, grandkids, whatever, you know, it's going to be one of those things. Like, for instance, what's interesting is, can you believe this? We're going to be the guys, right? It's like when your grandpa or your great grandpa was in Georgia, he went to a former school that was segregated school, like Columbia Middle School, you know, it's like, that, not while he was going there, but it used to be segregated like 20 years before he went there. And it's just like, really? Wow. And then there's like a bunch of things that we're going to be coming across. It's going to be like, it's going to be like how we look at their generation and go, wow, you lived through that. Wow. You had some sort of connection with that. I can't believe that. And that was just a part of your life. And we're going to have a lot of those tales. So I think that's going to be good.
Yeah, I think definitely telling war stories, I think that'd be great. I hope that both of us are at that age in good mobility, and we're able to just go fishing when we want, just being able to do what we want. But I really also hope that maybe we could find some friends or maybe some guys that are a little bit younger and kind of like share our knowledge and wisdom and impart that into them. And it's like, hey, look, like we've been friends for this amount of years and I know you're going through this. And so let me help you out. So I hope, my prayer for at least me is that I can be that guy where they're like, man, like, how'd you get through this? And I can help other people just kind of tell my war stories. Again, like you said, talking mess and just getting to be able to enjoy life and not have to really have too many responsibilities and just enjoy being alive.
Or time commitments. Not too many time commitments, hopefully. So that'll be good. But yeah, man, that was pretty good. I don't have any more. So.
Yeah, so you guys go check us out. I'm not going to like fully pull back the whole curtain, but I do want to say Micah has been working on some music and man, it's been great. It's been turning out really good. And so I'm excited for whenever you're ready to share that with the world. But man, you've been cooking and it's good. I'm excited for when you do get to share that, if you do.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, we got to get some copyright stuff. Make sure ain't none of y'all steal it out there. No, I'm joking. No, it's been turning out really good. I didn't realize beats making might be a hidden talent of mine. I didn't know that. But, you know, it's what you try as a hobby, you never know what'll come out of it. So, but yeah, not TV, Trash Can. Good grief. Trash Can Network at the Trash Can Network. Go like us, follow us, subscribe, man. We got the Aviator Society over on Instagram too. But yeah, man, Trash Can Network's been really taking off. You know, we're up to, almost 300 subscribers at this point, which doesn't sound like much, but at the same time, it's grown exponentially. I think 3 months ago we were at 150. Now we're up to 300 over there. So it's like consistently growing, which you always love to see. And so we appreciate you guys.
And that's a testament to you, man. You've been the one pumping out the content, making the videos and stuff. You've been working really hard on that. So credit to where credit is due. And so, man, I'm excited about it. It's awesome.
Anything to promote the Trash Can brand. That's all I have to say on that. But I appreciate your support. And I appreciate all of you guys too. For all of you who have subscribed and who have been watching the content, I really do appreciate it. I do it for you guys, and do it for your enjoyment, whatnot. And so, yeah, man. I mean, we've even been pumping out them nature videos, man. And so Some of those are really good. If you're having a hard day, you can go look at some sloths, some dolphins, and it talks about some of their quirky mannerisms. There's even one about giraffes on there, about how, man, giraffes are, they're kind of wild. I'm not gonna lie to you, they're pretty crazy. But yeah, man, go check it out on Trash Can Network. But that's all I got, man. We can take this donut box out of the trash.
All right, Starship, send us home. I'm Chris.
And I'm Michael.
This is the Donut Box Podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you, this love in my heart that I feel.